far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we talk about Gundam X for our Gundam Month. Do you remember still a lot from Gundam X?
Okay, so no. Yeah, I remember some of it, but not all of it.
Alright, like I got a Wikipedia page here. Let me go ahead and put that in the text chat thing.
The first 10 episodes or so I saw, I think it was either 2011. Yeah, probably 2011. So it's been a while since I saw the first ones, but the other ones were kind of recent.
Okay. Yeah, I figured, you know, while it's still fresh in my head, we should go ahead and just review this show. I don't think Josh has seen it.
No, he hasn't.
Okay. Well, then I guess we're just doing it without him.
There's a manga of Gundam X that Zionic Corps translated. I think it's 3 volumes or so.
That's on the wiki page. It seems like it was like, I guess it's like a, it says a continuation of the sequel in the manga. I thought it was like, I'm not sure if it's like an interpretation of the series or like it takes place after the series.
I think that it's set like 10 years after the series, and it might have a different cast. I'm not sure. I haven't read it, but I think I downloaded it.
Okay.
Yeah, I have 2 volumes of that on here, but I haven't read it yet.
I've heard of it, but I've never seen anything of it, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah. So, what were your thoughts on this show overall? I guess we should introduce ourselves. We never introduce ourselves anymore. I'm John Jones. With me is Zionic Freak. Welcome to Gundam Month number 3. The previous 2 Gundam Months were on previous podcasts that we did. But Gundam Unicorn is coming up soon. What episode are we at? 6? Gundam Unicorn episode 6?
That does sound right, because I think they're going to 7, maybe 8, I don't know. But I do want to point out that we're recording this episode first, even though this is coming like the 3rd week of March for a Gundam month.
That's true, yeah. that's true, yeah.
So I don't know how well our other episode, our G Gundam and Gundam Wing review is going to be, even though those are going to come out before this.
Yeah, well, hopefully those go well, even though I haven't seen either one of those shows particularly recently. But I've seen this one more recently, so hopefully this goes well.
Yeah, I want to say, like, yeah, I actually enjoyed Gundam X. Like, I just got done with it today. And it's very pacifist. It seems like, oh, great, they take the Gundam Wing pacifist theme and put it in this show. But I'm like, oh, whatever. I still enjoyed it, even though it was a show that was cut before its prime. Like, it was supposed to be 52 episodes, but then people lost interest. So they're like, well, we'll just try to end it the best way we can with 39 episodes. And I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, I didn't think that it was real obvious that they had cut it off 13 episodes early.
I think it was going to be any bit longer. It would probably be, like, more stuff to do in space and things like that. It's just kind of like, because, like, by the time Gerard goes to space, it's, like, episode, and I'm looking at the Wikipedia for the Gundam Wiki. It's 31 Fly Gerard, and he's only in space for, like, two episodes, and then he goes back down to the moon. I mean, back to Earth to go rescue his crew, and then they're back in space in the next episode for, like, the next three episodes.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of spoilers in this, and there's some kind of weird things to spoil about this. Like, there's the that ending that you mentioned about how the moon was, like, a new type.
Yeah, so they apparently, like, the both the this kind of reminds me of, like, the Civil War, because there's, like, the old types versus the new types and all this, like, I guess it's, like, not, you can't really say racism because there's not a single black person in this. But I guess it's, like, racism with ideas or something. And they're like, oh, I hate you because you're an old type. Well, I hate you because you're a new type. We gotta fight.
Yeah. This is, like, the most UC of all the non-UC shows. Because it's got, like, actual new types in it. Rather than calling it, like, the Seed or whatever they call it in Gundam Seed or, you know.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot most of that show anyway, so I don't... I thought it was technically new type in Gundam Seed.
It's basically new type, but they just call it something else.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it's got, like, the big, like, walnut shell that cracks, and then, like, Kira becomes... It turns on no clip mode, invincible mode.
Yeah.
And then nothing can kill him, which is why he got named, like, Jesus Kira or something.
What?
That's what people used to call him on the internet. They were like, yeah, Jesus Kira Yamato or whatever. Or Kira Jesus Yamato, because it was like he had such plot armor on that, like, nothing ever happened to him. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think I'm missing much not seeing this show, but we'll have to get to that one day.
Ugh. Well, yeah, and they also said coordinators a lot. I think that was what their other term for a new type.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But that's not this show, neither here or there.
Yeah, this show is kind of UC-ish. It's kind of like what would have happened if the Earth was, like, wiped out by Char's second colony drop idea, you know, and if it was kind of like post-apocalyptic and there were some new types and they were, like, at war with the old types.
So this is like if Char's plan to drop Axis on the Earth actually happened. Yeah. Like, this is kind of the show we would get.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool because it's kind of like what an AU Gundam should be. Like, it's like exploring the different possibilities of, like, the idea of Gundam rather than just being like something totally different, like either aimed at, like, little kids like Gundam Age or like girls like Gundam Seed or Wing, you know. It's more of a Gundam show than a lot of the other AU Gundams.
And apparently, like, the Char clone for this was Jamil, because he wore sunglasses the entire show until, like, the last episode, and he took them off, like, briefly.
Oh, did he take them off? I don't remember that. You can actually
see his eyes. It was, like, when they were in, like, the dome right at the end. And because, like, I look at it, it was like an internet argument. Like, the dome was, like, the people looking at the internet people as, like, you guys are stupid because you believe what you believe, and when none of that is true. Because then the old types are like, well, you new types are dumb because, you know, we made the dome system so, like, you guys wouldn't get all cocky. And the new types are like, well, we believe in it because we hate you old types and rah, rah, rah. And the dome's like, you guys are dumb. None of this is real. You know, you can only move on if you don't believe in the new type thing, because that's what's causing this stupid battle to begin with, because you guys are retarded. That was pretty much the logic I was able to interpret for that 5 minutes when they were in that, like, the, it turns like they're floating into space or something.
Yeah,
and Dome is like the HAL 3000 from Space Odyssey.
Yeah, well, what was why was the dome like a thing? What who made it? Like, I can't really remember.
It was the first new type, and they, I didn't make it sound like it was a being or anything, but like when Tifa had flashbacks, it was like, it looked like it was a person or something. And I'm like, maybe there's a like an old man that's like on the moon base, and he's like, I'm finally getting to meet people after like 15 years, but it's just like an orb, essentially. Uh-huh. And then it's like, and basically, like, I read the subtitles, and I'm like, wait, they just made the moon a new type? This show.
Yeah, earlier there were dolphin new types, and then there was the moon new type.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, earlier in the show, like, they go to, because apparently there's, like, a microwave beam that apparently is going to an island, because, like, the show has, like, its mid-season upgrades for the mobile suits that the pilot mechanic kid is, like, all crazy about. I was like, I gave you a bigger gun because you can't use that other gun because it sucks. So I'm giving you this bigger gun. And they're like, awesome, this bigger gun is awesome to shoot these other new enemies that are appeared in the mid-season that I need to shoot down. But, no, like, the satellite, yeah, that they explore, like, the ocean because that's where, like, Tifa sees a vision or something. And that's when she meets the dolphins that apparently, like, hate humans or whatever. And then they go to, like, the military bases that's developing the gun of mechs.
Isn't there a line?
Double X.
Isn't there a line, like, a dolphin never started a war or something?
That was, like, 2 months ago for me when I saw that, so I couldn't really tell you.
Yeah, well, the whole thing was that the dolphins hate the people because the people are violent. And it's all, like, dolphins are so great, and they're, like, the best new types. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, well, then that leads to them finding some girl that, like, Jameel knew, like, when they were fighting, and it might have been his old girlfriend or something. And she was, like, in this capsule tube, and she talked to him through new-type powers or something. And then they buried her at the bottom of the sea.
What was the deal with Jameel's past? Wasn't there something, like, he saw a vision of the future, and they kept talking about it?
They only mentioned it, like, one episode, and, like, he had a vision. I don't think they really explained what it was. He's just, like, and then, like, when he goes to talk to Dome, Dome is like, well, that was just an illusion. And it's just like, you know, your future is up to whatever, however you want it to be, because, yeah, there's no such thing as new types. So, like, because you believe, you know, Jameel held on to this vision about, like, I had this vision and now I'm not seeing it, you know, be foretold when I was fighting the last war. And
okay, so was he fighting, like, all this time to fulfill his vision or something?
I guess, because, like, it's, like, towards the end of the series they mentioned Jameel had a vision. And then he goes, I mean, like I said, he asked the Dome about it, and the Dome's like, nah, it's just an illusion.
Yeah. Hmm.
But no, like, we should start to have the show starts out instead of just spoiling the ending, but...
Yeah, we'll spoil the whole show for them, not just the ending.
It doesn't matter. So, like, if you haven't seen this show, go see it before listening to this episode, unless you just don't care.
Yeah.
But no, it starts out with, like, Gerard Rand is a punk kid who's like, you know, I jack mobile suits and sell them and get money. And then he gets a mission or a job from this old rich dude to go after this girl that was kidnapped. And then that leads to him getting the gun of mechs, which he, like, the vultures, which Jameel headed up this vulture team. And they pretty much capture the girl, so he breaks in to go take her out, but then he winds up getting the Gundam, so it's like this little homage to the first episode of Mobile Suit Gundam, pretty much in every way. And then, of course, like, he winds up working for Jameel and everything. And then, of course, we get introduced to, like, these other kinds of, like, bandits or whatever, that are headed by the girl with, like, the leather bondage outfit or whatever, like, Anil. Which, oh, she winds up being, like, an ally towards the end of the series. Like, I kind of liked her character a lot.
That's the girl that wanted to, like, take his Gundam, right? Like, yeah, at one point, like, when he was trying to sell the Gundam, didn't she try to buy it?
I think so, yeah. Because he goes, one episode he goes in the town, and he's like, I'm selling it for, like, $3 million or something. Who wants this Gundam? Or yeah. It was something like that. He's in the town square. But, like, she has a huge obsession with him. Like, I'm just like, wow, she really wants to ride his dick or something.
Yeah.
Because she, like, apparently turned her down or something stupid. And then, like, she starts stalking him, which led to, like, when they go to, like, the Ice Fortress or whatever, where that little, like, new type kid's at, which they, like, look at him as a leader, and he winds up piling this mobile armor or whatever. And then, like, they have a battle and everything, and they're like, oh, no, you don't have to do that. And then, of course, we have the antagonist of the show, which was the Frost Brothers, which they're, like, apparently, like, according to the New Type Institute, they were, like, the new types or something. Because, like, they couldn't pilot, like, the bit system mobile suits. But they had a telekinetic power that they were able to communicate with each other through brainwaves at, like, greater distances. So they were able to read each other's mind and everything. And, like, they can, like, you know, talk to each other while they're, like, manipulating, like, a blood man or whatever. Which is pretty much, like, how they were able to get to, like, the top, right next to the leader of the New Federation, was just kill everyone in their way.
Go
ahead.
They wanted to, like, take over the New Federation, right?
Yeah, that was their intended goal, like, because they asked Bloodman, like, you know, what's your real goal in this? And then they told him, and it's like, it's pretty much how we want it, and we'll serve next to you because you believe in the same thing. In which they wind up killing, like, both leaders in the last episode anyways, because they were like, well, I guess we're going to take over the new world now. No, like, it was weird, like, for a few episodes, they had that whole, like, mobile suit of the week kind of thing, where, like, they would find a pilot within the Federation, and it's like, hey, we'll give you a 2-promotion rank if you kill the Gundam. So, like, you had the one crazy dude that had, like, a toothpick Gundam that wielded knives, and then he got defeated. And then, like, the next episode was some other dude. And it went on for, like, 4 or 5 episodes like that. And then they finally find, like, one guy that's actually able to defeat or bang up the Freedon pretty well. And they're like, hey, I did it. I got my new type power. Like, excellent. And then they killed the dude. And it was like, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you guys were looking for the perfect pilot. And they're like, well, as long as we got all these new types out of the way, then nobody's going to stand in our way. And I'm like, ah, you guys are jerks.
Yeah, it's kind of like how Char had the name of that guy that he was one of the zombies that Char had killed?
Oh, Garen. Well, no, not Garen.
Garen's son, wasn't it?
No, Garen was the oldest brother. It was Garen, Dozel, Cassilia, and I cannot think of that other kid's name, but he died like episode 8. Garma, that was it.
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about. Because Char kind of had that guy, like, killed because he was getting in the way of his ambition, you know?
Yeah, he was just like, blame the misfortune of your birth on this. And he's like, you double-crossed me, Char!
Yeah.
There's even more people to the crew. Like, the crew of the Freedon consist of, like, the people who work the ship. Like, there's this one guy that just kind of pilots it, and I never really bothered to know his name. And then there's the girl that's pretty much, like, has a thing for Jameel, the girl with the short brown hair.
Oh, the ditzy blonde girl?
No, the ditzy blonde girl, like Tanya or whatever, like, she was just kind of, like, did her own thing. Which later in the show, like, Wits, like, I guess, proposes to her, and, like, I didn't even really, there wasn't really any character development regarding, like, like building up a romance between the two. It's just like, hey, this is our last battle, and I want to marry you, even though I've never really talked to you. And I guess it's like, we're given the impression, like, oh, I guess outside the show that we're seeing, they talk and bang each other all the time, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, who really knows?
Yeah, No, yeah, Tanya was, like, it was kind of sort of, like, Wits' girl, I guess. And then Roybe was the player. And Roybe wind up getting a Neil in the end, I guess. Maybe, like, a little while. Who knows?
Who's that guy that had, like, a bunch of gold? And he, like, went back to his house and they, like, found the gold?
Oh, that was Wits. Yeah, that was a funny episode. Like, they had an episode dedicated to Wits and Roybe. Where Roybe has a past where, I guess, how he got his leopard Gundam or whatever. And he pretty much goes to, like, a cemetery or something. I guess he got it from some girl and he, like, paid her respects or something. And then Roy B was like they were mercenaries basically. So he collected gold under like, and he left it under a burnt out like building or something, and hid it there. And then like at the end of the episode, he goes to his parents, and his mom remarries some dude, and he's just like, I don't want you remarrying somebody, even though I haven't seen you in 5 years or something. And then he winds up like he has the gold and he gives it to the family, but he almost carpet bombs the house and the kids with the gold because he doesn't place it on the ground. He just drops it and hopes for the best. And like his youngest brother was like 5 feet from the case when it landed on the ground. I'm like, because I'm looking, I'm like, oh God, he's going to kill his whole family
with gold,
with like all the gold in the case. And it just lands there and he just flies off. I'm like, dude, you're a jerk.
Yeah, I don't think those characters were, like, very sympathetic, you know, compared to Garrod.
Yeah, and, like, Garrod and Tifa, which she's, like, the new type girl in this, they're kind of, like, you see a huge character development with them because it's, like, mostly focused around them. And they kind of build their relationship on that, which was, you know, it's cute. Like apparently later in the series, like Anil, like quit, I think it was like around episode 20, she quit being like a mercenary or whatever. And she was like, you know, trying to settle down with some guy. And then she wound up going back to the battlefield when she got like a new mobile armor or whatever. And then they wind up when the new Federation was there, they like took over the town and they killed like everyone off or something. So she's like, oh, I got no one now. I just guess I'll just keep fighting. And then they wind up running into her, like, when they get captured. And I think that's when Gerard gets his double X. Because they run into that one dude who was, like, they hired. No, like, yeah, the Frost Brothers hired this one dude who talks about his dead wife all the time. He's like, well, I'm, like, reminds me of my dead wife or something.
Do you remember that? I don't remember that guy. Do you remember his name?
I'm not even too sure.
Yeah, me neither.
There's the episode. One of the episodes.
How far into the show is this?
Wife's favorite saying. So maybe the guy's name's in this or something. It was like these are these kind of weird names.
Oh, the episode titles.
Yeah, that's the episode title. I think his name was like Katook or something.
All of the episodes were like named after phrases from the show. And during the next episode preview, they would always have, like, a clip of the person saying the name of the next episode.
Yeah, that would be, like, the episode.
And it's going again.
Okay.
Yep.
There was another one, like, I think it was the same thing where, like, regarding Roy B hooking up with women. Like, there was that one where they go to the town with, when they meet into Anil. Because, like, Tanya and Anil become, like, really good friends. And, like, Roy B hooks up with some girl in a bar, which she winds up being, like, a resistance member. And I guess they're in town for a few days because it's, like, he just winds up staying at her house. So, like, he's just sleeping around with her, I guess. And then he realizes, like, they're having a guerrilla war against, like, the new Federation or something. And then he just goes back to the ship. And then they're like, what happened? He's like, nothing.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
Trying to think of some other characters. Like, it's, I don't know. I mean, really, that's, I think we kind of talked about the ending, or I guess we can lead up to the ending. Like, I just gotta think.
Yeah. We didn't do enough planning for this episode, I guess.
No, I was gonna write down some stuff, but apparently I was just like, I think we got enough to talk about or whatever.
Hold on, I'm going to pause the recording again. I have to go with the dog in.
Okay.
Okay, did you remember anything else to talk about?
Yeah, I did. There was the part where like they go out to, like, I guess, like, Asia or something and run to those, like, countries, which there was one that was, like, they take residence in one of the countries that's, like, the new Federation starting to take over the planet. And, like, there's, like, a nation in between these two nations that hate each other. And so, like, the Federation's plan was to take over the middle nation. So then I guess, like, the two nations that hate each other would start fighting so they could just easily dominate the loser of that. And it's like they take residence in one of the countries, which like this kid dictator or whatever was like pretty much like a figurehead. And then like it was like the general dude who was like, you know, this pride and boastful guy was like, no, I'll never take defeat or whatever. And then you got the other people that are his like aides that are just like, no, we should do treaties and, you know, try to sign a peace accord and everything. And like they once the general of that nation found out, like, you know, they're going peaceful, he like took like 10 people out against the new federation just because he was an ultra badass or something.
Yeah, that was kind of near the end where there was all this like internal politics stuff. Where weren't there like there was like a prince or something as well?
Yeah, that was the prince kid who was like, oh, because he talks to Garrod or Garrard, and he's just like, I wish I could be more like you and be brave instead of just like listening to what these other two people tell me to do all the time. And Garrod's like, you should probably make up your own decisions because that's better.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff about where they were like, weren't sure what side to take or something like that.
It was something like that. Another one was, right before Garrod goes into space, like, because in order for him to go into space, like, Tifa gets kidnapped, and, like, she winds up going to they go to the new type center or something, and, of course, this is the part of the series where, like, the Frost Brothers are in every episode trying to, like, basically troll them, and, they wind up, apparently it gets set up where, like, Tifa gets kidnapped, and she's going in the space shuttle, which lets, Garrod goes to like some local base to go into space, and like apparently while this is happening, they have the new Federation on their tail. But like they have like a big like mobile battle base, which was like a big. It almost looked like one of those like a hunter killer machines from the Terminator movies, but it had like this huge artillery cannon in front of it, and they basically ram the Afridan right into it as a kamikaze attack.
Oh, I kind of remember that. Yeah.
And then, like, oh, go ahead.
Never mind.
Because I think, yeah, then once Garrod's in space, he meets up with, he meets up with that one girl that's, like, pilots, like, a G-fighter or whatever, and she's kind of, like, this hot-headed, you know, annoying girl or whatever, because she has, like, a base and some, like, meteorite, and then, like, the next episode it gets attacked. And then, of course, she winds up joining Garrod, and they wind up, like, they were able to form their mobile suit together with his and her, like, a little G-fighter. Kind of like in Gundam 00, where, like, that thing is able to connect with a 00. Do you remember that?
Was that Season 1 or Season 2?
It was Season 2. Like, it was – Seasons 2 was the whiny kid. I can't remember his name. Like, they capture him. Because he becomes like, he wants to go to be like a space technician or something, and winds up living his dream 4 years later. And his girlfriend is like part of the A-Laws or whatever.
I only saw Season 1.
Oh, okay. Well, Season 2, like they have like, I think it's like a G-Writer or something. I don't know. Huh. It's been a couple years since I saw all of Gundam 00. But it works pretty much like that. I think it was called the O-Riser. That might have been it. But it kind of works the same way with this, where it's just like it connects. And then, of course, like as soon as like him, well, of course, like Garrod gets back to Earth by getting captured by the Frost Brothers because they just happen to be in space a couple episodes later. And, and then apparently, like, while they're on Earth, they break out from the Federation. And, of course, like the little mechanic kid's like souping up her G-Writer or whatever, and she gets mad because that's just the show. But I think we might have covered just about everything noticeable in this.
Yeah, and we did it in a half hour. This is I don't know if this is like one of the less I don't know how to say it. One of the shows you can talk less about for Gundam. Like, people don't usually have like really strong opinions on this show. Like, it's not like a fan favorite show like Wing or even G or
yeah, it's Gundam X isn't, but it's not a bad show though. I mean, Oh, there was one other thing I remember, like when they were fighting against Anil, like in the early of the season. One of the things, like they tried trapping the Freedon in like this huge lake, and they set it on fire. And then apparently, they debugged that because they called the satellite cannon down, or the satellite system, and then like evaporates all the water. So then like there's no more fire to destroy the Freedon. So that was like their science saves the day tactic or something.
Was there a big space laser in the last few episodes?
The last episode was... Oh, no, yeah, there was a colony laser. That's right. So, like, when Garrett was in space, they pretty much used the space colony laser from Mobile Suit Gundam because the new type space noids and new type ism was going to dominate the Earth by, like, shooting the space colony laser onto Earth and basically destroying the Earth more. That was their big plan. And then Jared winds up, like, shooting basically bullseyeing the space colony laser, like, dead on from, like, the other side of the Earth sphere.
Yeah, that's right. That's how they got the space laser.
Yeah, because he does it as a spoof to, like, okay, you better release Tifa. And then, like, they release her and they're able to get her back. Or, like, she's the girl or whatever is able to get Tifa that he meets in space. And then he shoots the colony laser. He's like, yeah, I'm a pretty bad liar. It's like, yeah, I decided to shoot your colony, your space colony down. So suck on that. And also, of course, this has like I said with pacifism, like Jamil meets like a rival that he fought in like the 1 year or the not 1 year war, the first war, and then like he winds up meeting him in battle, and you know he's like, oh, he was my rival, and then he talks to Jared, and he's just like, actually, Jamil's a pretty cool guy, and he doesn't like either side, and he's just like, Jamil sounds pretty cool now, and then they meet, and they just kind of shake hands.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of like Amuro and Char and Zeta Gundam, where they're kind of like rivals from a previous war, but now they're kind of like friends.
Yeah, and then, of course, when Char's counterattack shows up, that screws up everything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
mostly Char's doing.
Yeah. I don't think that happens in this one. The rival doesn't, like, betray them again, does he?
No, he winds up fighting on their side and everything. The Frost Brothers, they have a satellite cannon of their own because, like, once people go to the dome on the Earth... Like, he sends an infiltration team in to go, like, to change the satellite, the satellite or whatever, to manual mode so then they can link up with it. And then, like, they basically use that to destroy, like, both fleets because, like, we're going to take over the world now. And then, of course, that's overridden when, like, the Double X wants to use it. And then, like, they have that final big shoot thing, which I was like, awesome, the Frost Brothers are dead because I'm tired of these guys. And in the second to last shot of the anime is the bigger, or I think it's, Olba, or the younger brother, was wheelchairing around the older brother. And I'm like, crap, they're still alive. This is an overly pacifist thing.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those Gundam shows that makes a big deal about how pacifism is the way to go.
Yeah, and then, but another cool thing was, like, they meet up with, like, the first episode was those two guys that were, like, hassling people, like, we fought in the last great war, and we need a job. We're both psychic soldiers, and then, like, in the last episode, they're back, and then, like, people just laugh at them. They're like, we don't need mobile suits anymore, we don't need mobile suits pilots, because we're in peace, and that's not going to land you a job anywhere. And then they ask, like, Jared, like, hey, you know about new types, right? And Jared's like, a little bit, yeah, sure.
Yeah, because Tifa's a new type, and he knows about her, so...
Yeah, I figured he would have been like, nah, new types don't exist, the dome told us to.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know, what happened with the dome at the end? Was it, like, destroyed?
Yeah, because, like, when Jared or whatever, like, shoots his satellite cannon at the Frost Brothers in space, like, I figured that was enough to destroy them... But then it winds up taking out the entire satellite itself and this facility around it because everyone is evacuated by then.
Yeah.
So then there's like no more need for that, and of course they just like it's like the I think the final shot was like the Gundam X floating around the moon, or the Double X.
Yeah, that's right.
But then, like, that takes place like 6 months after that event or something, because then they say goodbye to like the kid from the Ice Fortress or whatever that shows up.
Oh yeah, from about episode like 10 or 12 or so, there was that Ice Fortress kid, and then they returned later.
Yeah, because like he saves like the crew when they're like on the train and they're about to like Gestapo kill the Frieden crew like in a ditch off like in the middle of nowhere, and he winds up just showing up and saving them.
Yeah,
because I'm just like, huh? I see the Japanese know something about World War II history. Well, I mean, they were allies to the Germans in World War II, so...
What was that ice place supposed to be? Like, was it some specific country?
It was a fort, actually, but it was, like, in the mountains. Let me pull up that link, or whatever. It's called Fort Severn. That was it.
Okay. Well, that kind of reminds me, wasn't there In Zeta Gundam, didn't they go to, like, Mount Kilimanjaro or something?
Yeah, that was a two-episode thing. Like, when they go there to... I can't remember the purpose, but they wind up going there, and that's when Camille finds Four again. And then, of course, like, she goes crazy, and he winds up killing her.
Yeah, that's a good arc. It's too bad they cut that out of the movie.
Yeah, well, they cut that out because that... plane captain or whatever, the Titans like cap Four right in the skull, or I'm pretty sure she shot her in the head or like in the body or something, and she just fell off the plane, which that was part of the new animation. And I was kind of sad because I'm like, I really like the Kilimanjaro arc because I like Four a lot.
Yeah, that was cool. And then there was they also cut out the stuff with that crazy woman, Rosamia Bottom.
Oh, crap. I'm trying to think what she looks like.
I think she has, like, purple hair.
Oh, yeah. That was the girl that was, like, supposedly Camille's sister.
Yeah, like, she thought she was his sister, but she wasn't really, yeah, or something.
She played it off, and then they made, like, a second Psycho Gundam, and that's the one she piloted.
Yeah, like, the whole Psycho Gundam pilots were, like, really shunted by the movie, you know?
Mm. Which I thought they were the best part of the series.
And then they retconned out the Double Zeta with the ending. So there's no, like, Puru with the Psycho Gundam. Or did she have... She had the Cubly, not the Psycho Gundam. Isn't that right?
I think in Double Zeta, like, Puru... I think it might have been the main Puru. Or one of the... No, it was the main one that she had the Psycho Gundam on Dublin. And that's when the colony drop happened or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm remembering that scene from playing the Dynasty Warriors Gundam games, because that was in that. I think it was the second game they brought that in.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember seeing this in the series.
Yeah, because that was during the colony drop, and they showed the Earth Federation people, and they didn't even really care that there was a colony drop happening. They were just like, we're getting out of here.
Yeah. I like the Psycho Gundam. It's too bad it wasn't in those movies. And of course, like, the guys who directed it were like, yeah, we should have just done all new animation. We should have just done it like that.
Wait, they admitted it?
What?
They admitted it?
Like, yeah, later.
Oh, I didn't know that. But yeah, it's kind of obvious that they should have done all new animation, just done their own thing.
It made me kind of sick with those Double Zeta movies regarding, like, oh, you know, I'm watching old school 80s animation. This is okay. And then it was like, bam, beautiful animation. I'm like, I really want to watch this. And it goes back to old animation like a second later. Then the new animation. I'm like, stop.
Yeah, it's really jarring.
Just stop it, okay? Pick one style and stick with it.
Yeah. like some of those new scenes were only like 10 or 20 seconds long, you know? And it would be like... Char sitting down on a couch and talking to someone, and then it like immediately goes back to the old style or something. And it's...
I think one of the scenes in the movie was it might have been the first or the second translation was the they were watching footage on one of the screens. So it's their old animation watching new animation on the screen.
Oh, really?
Like, what was the point of that? I think it might have been talking about like the whole Side 30 Bunch incident regarding the gas in the colonies and stuff.
Oh.
Could I was be. Like, oh, come on.
Hmm. So they were like watching the colonies be gassed, and the colonies were being gassed in like the original anime, and the people watching were like,
yeah,
new
that
animations.
Was it. It was the original animation that they took out of the show for the stuff they didn't add in the movie, and then they had new animation watching the old animation on like a screen with better technology. It's like, oh, come on. Yeah, like last year I marathoned like all three of those movies in one night. Cause like I rewatched the first two after not seeing them in like years. Cause I had I bought that box set from like Best Buy a couple years ago.
Yeah, I have that too.
Yeah, like it has got all three movies on there, and that was like $60 or $70 or something. Cause then I only bought it because I'm like, well, I want to own these other movies, and I haven't seen the third one, so I just might as well pick it up. And then, I just like it was like a whole 8 or 9 hour ordeal.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I
can imagine.
Like, I'm sticking with this. I don't care. And I was just like, so my eyes were so bloodshot at the end. It was just like after one movie, because like each movie was like 2.5 hours long. So after the one, I was just like, all right, I got to take a break. I'm going to go order a pizza or something, do something for like 30, 40 minutes. Or I think I might have stopped it and then watched an episode of like Legend of Galactic Heroes and then went back to the second movie. And it took like an hour break from the second to the third movie.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, that can get kind of tiresome, even if you're watching like good movies, to do it for 9 hours.
Yeah, well, I mean, the movies themselves aren't bad. I think there's just like the biggest backlash is the whole animation thing, and like, of course, that buffs out the events of the. Double Zeta coming into play, because then they're not fighting against the Axis, like, because Hamon wound up getting peace or something.
What is even the point of them changing the ending like that? I don't get why they did it.
I don't know, but then that, of course, debunks, like, Char's counterattack, because I guess, well, I mean, they didn't really say Char died either. I think the ending of that, they kept the whole, like, Char could be alive, maybe. But then again, there's no point to the Double Zeta, so...
Well, Double Zeta is not, like, it's not really important to the Char's counterattack story, but, like, if it doesn't happen, then isn't Hamon still going to be in charge of the Zeon, and so Char can't do the counterattack, you know, he can't control the Zeon, because Hamon's in charge, you know?
That is true, and then, of course, if he does it, it'd just be, like, Char's rebellious counterattack.
Yeah, I guess.
And then the Char's counterattack would be him fighting against Hamon's Neo Zeon and then the Federation forces. And it was hard enough for him fighting against the Federation forces in the first place.
Yeah, well, they should flesh that out. Like, Fiku had this idea that, like, the original Gundam movies and the original Gundam show and the Zeta movies are all in, like, different timelines, and the other UC shows are, I guess, in the timeline with the original movies, I think he said. But, like, they haven't really developed, like, anything else that happened in the Zeta movie timeline, you know? Like, they could do, like, an original story with the new art style, like, of what happens afterward since they changed the ending. But they probably won't, because those movies weren't very, like, well-received.
Wait. So, did you just say that he believes that the original Mobile Suit Gundam timeline, the compilation movies and the Zeta Gundam compilation movies, are in the same time period? Is that what you just told me?
He says that they're all different alternative timelines, and I think he says that all the other Gundam shows are in continuity with the original movies, but not with the original show because of some minor, like, minor vehicle detail or something.
Oh, gosh.
Like, he said, like, well, in one of the flashbacks, they show the G-Fighter, and it wouldn't have been there in the original show, and he had some real specific reasoning, but I don't remember what it was exactly.
no talent with that guy. I mean, in a way, I guess I could see his point because, like, the show was, like, you know, Monster Mobile City of the Week, kind of. And originally it was supposed to be that way if, like, they fleshed out the whole 52 episodes. Because, like, there was something on Toon Zone where somebody posted up, like, the like how the series was supposed to originally end, which was, like, you know, it was Amuro fighting the Robot of the Week, and then he was going to take out Giren Zabi or something. And then they wind up doing that, which wind up being, like, a great ending. But I would love to see the original ending if they ever do that. Maybe one day. Who knows? But
was the Abawaku stuff still going to be in there?
No, this was supposed to take place after Abawaku. That's what somebody posted on Toon Zone, like, 6 years ago that Aang leaked or something.
I remember the thread. It was Yugi's BM that posted it.
Okay.
But I don't think I read all the scripts or anything.
I just remember skimming through. I think I might have read everything, but it's been a few years. But I mean, I look at the compilation movies. It's just a summary of, like, take out the Robot of the Week stuff and just stick to the 1 year war. It's the same story from the TV series and the movies, but the movies are just a condensed version of, like, what you need to know.
Yeah, it takes
you don't
out
have
stuff
to watch the TV series. So I don't know what he means by, like, you know, one vehicle messed up the entire events of the whole UC timeline.
I could find it, I think, but I don't remember what the name of the vehicle was.
Is it the battle tank thing that the Gundam can, like, turn into, like, a rolling mobile armor or something? Is that what he was meaning?
Is that something that happens in one of them and not in the other? Like, in the movie, but not in the show?
Because they made a Master Grade kit of, like, one of the little, like, where the Gundam can transform into, like, some sort of tank or something, and then, like, transform back, because it has the body style in it. I can't think of the name offhand. I don't know if he means that, but, like, you know, the Zuccarello was, like, one of those, like, you know, mobile suit, or the mobile suit of the week kind of things, which, like, that wasn't in the movies either.
Oh, the Zuccarello. I remember that thing.
Yeah.
That's got a great design.
it's like they went for Scorpion, but in space. That's kind of what it reminds me of.
Yeah. I'm trying to find this.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say we're done talking about Gundam X, but we can just do general Mobile Suit Gundam talk. Because technically speaking, we really didn't have this when we did our Mobile Suit Gundam review over a year ago. Because we went all kinds of off-topic on that.
That's true, which we do in, like, almost every episode.
Yeah, I mean, we're just kind of killing time now. But, I mean, I guess as those people who wanted to hear our Gundam X review, that was 10, 15 minutes ago, long gone. So
yeah, the first 30 minutes or so were pretty on-topic.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, and that's all to say about Gundam X, really. I mean, there's really nothing else to add except for, like, the little bit of stuff that we talked about. It was mostly the ending that we wanted to get out of the way that was just kind of, like, ridiculous or something. And then, like, swimming with dolphins.
Yeah,
and then, of course, they had the beach episode, kind of, but it was, like, 5 minutes.
Oh, I do remember that, yeah. Because the blonde girl and the brown-haired girl were in swimsuits, and
Tanya the blonde was, like, in this, like, leopard, like, two-piece, but it was, like, nothing really, but not a bikini, but it was, like, a loincloth over her boobs or something that covered it very well.
A loincloth. I think it might have been. We should find a picture and put it in the show notes if possible.
It's on the internet somewhere. I mean, there's more Tifa images or Tanya images out there of Gundam X than there was, like, 10 years ago when I was looking this stuff up. Yeah. And now it's in higher quality than it was, like, in, you know, 200 by 300 JPEG with, like, all kinds of digital, like, pixels on them. Because that's what we used back in the day.
Oh, didn't you say that you got this? You should explain how you got into Gundam X originally. Like, the data disks that you got of it, like, 15 years ago?
Okay, so, yeah, this was 10 years ago, over 10 years ago. The guy I got it from was this guy that my friends knew in my freshman year of high school. This is before I went to another school. So like these are the same friends. This is like my friends that got me into Gundam was one of them got me the Chinese subtitled bootleg copies of Victory Gundam on like a real media, real player format. Because like we were talking in the chat the other day or like last night regarding how Daft complained about like not getting a file in 1080p, and we're like, I remember back in the day when we tried to watch anime in like real player format and you know MPEG, you know, 50-60 megabyte sizes of like pixelated episodes, and like that's how it was done. But no, so that's how I. So like with these, those CDs don't even work anymore. Like I was surprised I got as far as I could in those Gundam X CDs. But so I got it from this Asian dude we knew as Sineng. And I think he's still actually active on the Collection DX site because like as soon as I joined that site a couple of years ago, he emailed me after not talking to him for a few years, you know, saying like, oh dude, I didn't know you were into Collection DX, because he's all about toy collecting now, and like I haven't seen that guy in 8 years or so. Because the last time I hung out with him was like me and some buddies went over to his house to play San Francisco Rush on the Dreamcast.
So you knew him fun. You knew him in real life, but then you found him on some forum too?
Yeah, well he's a fan of toy collecting, so like Collection DX is his domain, and he was just like, oh yeah, your name looked familiar, and I'm like, oh, Sineng, what's up? I think I was trying to hook him up with a Dietaran 3 figure I found like a couple years ago, but I didn't get it for him. Well, he never responded back. But anyways, so yeah, like my friends in high school, they told me about this guy and they gave me his like AIM number or his name or whatever. And so I contacted him and he's just like, and I got like these Gundam X CDs from him, and then I also got also with that I got some other stuff. But part of that was Initial D episodes 1-4, so that got me into Initial D. So, you know, thank you, Sting. So then I watched the series, and like some of the disc like didn't really work half the time. And he's like, "No, they're brand new disc." And you look at them, and I still got them to this day. Granted, they don't work, but it's just like it looks like they've been through hell, literally.
What happened to them?
Part of them look like he held them up to a lighter to burn them or something.
Wow!
Like there's some edges that look melted, and like I thought he like jacked off in one of them or something, because it looks like dried skeet residue.
Ugh!
And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
I hope you didn't put that in your computer.
I don't know what it was. I'm hoping to God it wasn't that, but like I think I tried running it on like my old Gateway computer.
Let's hope it was just compact
and. No, it was we had a Dell computer, and like it ran the first two CDs because I only got as far as like episode 10 or 12 of that series, and then the rest of them would never work, even though he swore up and down that they would work. And I paid him I paid the man $3 for it.
$3.
Yeah, or it might have been $5 for shipping and handling or whatever. But he just gave me a stack of CDs or whatever he had. So and I'm not even sure who the fan subbing group was back in 2001 who did that, or 2002. Because I could pop in the CD and find out, but it's not going to work. Because I've tried it a couple of times in the past 10 years.
Didn't we watch the Anime Legends versions of this?
That's what I've got, or that's what I downloaded. Pull this up. No, mine's Central Anime. That's what I've got. That's the version I saw.
Really?
And these are DVD rips.
I don't have the files anymore, so I don't remember what it was. But it's probably that.
Okay.
Because I kind of doubt two people fan subbed this recently and had it available for download.
I think the Central Anime fan subs was done in the past couple years. Because I got these fan subs off of Block at BT, and then the Anime Legends stuff was the one that was like widely available. I think those guys still exist, and they still got some stuff up, I guess. But like, there's the torrents for those, I think, are pretty much dead.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Test.
Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah, now you sound like yourself again.
Okay. I got, like, too near the mic, and I think it, like, adjusted to be, like, really low because of that.
Yeah, it sounded like you had, like, I thought your dad came on or something. I didn't know who that was on the mic.
Yeah. I'm gonna look on my backup to see which version I have.
Like I've got the, I know for sure I've got the Anime Legends of Double Zeta, which is the stuff I downloaded like 6 years ago.
Yeah, I might have their version of, Turn A, because I downloaded the whole series of Turn A.
Okay. Oh, now I remember my what episodes was initial the episodes are on. Those are on the last disc of my Victor Gundam CDs, which those still might work, I'm hoping. I haven't popped those in years, but I'm assuming they're going to work.
Hmm. Were those also from the same guy?
I got those from my good friend in ninth grade that told me about the guy. It was like $4 for like the whole series in Chinese, and I'm like, dude, I don't care, it's Gundam, I'll take it. And I think with Victory Gundam, when I first saw it, I only got to like episode 10. Because I was like determined to just sit through and like watch and listen to what's going on, but I couldn't understand anything or know what was going on. And then later when I went and watched the Victory Gundam again, it was just like, oh, okay, I've seen this. That makes sense.
Okay, it is Central Anime that I had.
Okay.
And I did find the log. Here's what Viku said. So I guess there'll be 4 UC canons when the origin comes out. Depending on what they do with it, I guess. It could fit into one of the existing ones if they want, but it doesn't really matter. The differences are so minor in all but one of them, they're barely worth mentioning. And then I asked him, what are the 4 canons? The existing anime canon? The novels? What else? And he said, one for Mobile Suit Gundam, the TV series. One for Zeta Gundam, the movies. One for everything else. And then maybe one for the Origin TV series. I wasn't even thinking about manga or novels. And then Josh says, one for the SD Gundam version of UC? Or does that not count? And Viku says, what is that? And then Josh says, never mind. And then Viku says, the original SD Gundam? No, I don't think that counts for anything. And I said, that's probably outside of continuity. And then I asked, why is the original Gundam TV series in a separate continuity from everything else? And he says, almost everything afterwards accepts the movie version as the actual canon. And I asked, what are the differences? And he says, meaning Amuro never fought Makuve at Texas, Sayla flies in the core booster, and there is no fucking G-Armor. That's pretty much it.
Okay, G-Armor was the thing I was thinking of that was in the TV series, I think.
Okay, so was G-Armor like some sort of thing they added on for toy purposes that...
Yeah, they got... more than likely, because like what... I mean, because what pretty much made this show interesting, of course, after the series ended when the movies came out, was like, you know, people wanted the model kits because it was for that older crowd that liked this. And, you know, they obviously try to market it for kids, and then Tomino's like, well, I'm telling the story any way I want to, so suck on it because I'm Tomino. And then they realize that worked, and he's just like, you're stuck making Gundam forever, and he's just like, fuck.
Yeah, I don't think Tomino wanted Gundam to end up like it did. Mm. And then he says, Makuve just gets killed later in like 0083 or 0084. And I said, I don't remember anything that minor being mentioned in Zeta or Double Zeta or anything. And he says, in Char's counterattack, they show Sayla piloting the core booster. What was the core booster? I don't remember that.
Well, I know that she was pilot. Like, the core boosters was the core fighters, but they had, like, they were bigger. It was the thing that, like, in the episode where Char and Amuro fight with Lalo, just hanging around, or not really hanging around, but they're having that whole, like, new type fighting thing. And then Sayla comes in there because he was about to, shoot down. Or put a beam saber to Sayla's core fighter, and then Lala stops him. So that was that's what she was piloting. That's that whole famous scene there.
Okay.
That's the core booster.
So Sayla was in the core booster in the movie, but who was in it in the show? No one? Or
well, I know that the Lieutenant Stryker dude or whatever, like he came like in the last He was the guy that they met up at Jaburo, and he's the one that rammed his core. I think that just might have been a core fighter that he rammed into the big Zom that disabled the eye fields, and then Amuro can shoot him.
Is that the one of those women's boyfriend or husband or something?
Well, I know that Mirai was interested in him or something. Like, in the movie, it was so, like, just, I'm a man, and you're a woman, and you're pathetic, and I know you like me. And then, like, they kiss, and then they have the battle, and then, of course, he dies. And she's like, no! That was from what I remember. And then, of course, like, her and Bright get together.
Okay, so in the movie, and in the show, he pilots the core fighter?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the core. Yeah, it was just the core fighter that he piloted. The core booster was the thing Sayla had, I'm pretty sure. Well, according to Viku, which is correct. Which I'm pretty sure was the thing that was in between when Char and Amuro were fighting, which led up to Lala's death.
Okay.
Because the core booster is just a big, beefed up version of a core fighter.
And, when did they... I mean, he says Makuve dies in 0083 or 0084 in this second continuity, which is the main continuity, apparently.
I have never really heard of that. I just know Makuve was in the show because they didn't really bring that up in the TV series. And, I mean, no, he was in the TV series, but yeah, he wasn't in the movies. And, like, that's how I had him fighting because they fought on the Texas colony with the Gaian and stuff. Or the Gian, or however you want to pronounce it. Because in the movies, like, he does fight. No, in the movies he does fight Makuve, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
It's been so long.
So he fights Makuve in the movies, but he doesn't die in the movies?
He does die, because, like, I know, like, in the Texas colony, it was, like, set up for mines and stuff. And I like how I have to refer to, like, how I played all the video games to Gundam to know the story to this. Because it's all retelling the same thing.
Oh.
Like, well, in the video games, like, Amuro fights Makuve and, like, Char, I guess, in Texas Colony. Or Char just kind of chills out, and then, like, him and Makuve are fighting, and the Gaian. And then he winds up killing Makuve there. So, like, I don't know this other thing that Viku's talking about regarding him living till 0084.
He claims that that's what happens in the movie, but not in the TV show. And that they left out the Makuve death from the movie or something. Here, I'll quote some more of it. He says,
"Yeah."
I asked him, well, how do you know that these things that are supposedly different in the movie are still being, like, held as canon in the later UC stuff, and I say, is this in the flashback or in the actual plot of these things? And then he says, you might not have noticed this, but I'm kind of a loser.
No kidding.
And then he says, in a flashback, Makuve is said to be pretty badass in the origin, so I assume he fights and dies in an epic way, but maybe he survives, I don't know. And then I asked, do the Zeta Gundam movies also have some scene where they show something from the Mobile Suit Gundam movies? He says, I don't think so. The problem is the ending, of course.
Yeah.
And I said, I know, I'm just wondering, what if the original TV shows and the Zeta movies are in continuity? And I said, it's meaningless, it wouldn't change anything. And he said, it's possible, it's definitely possible those two things could be one canon. And then that was the end of the conversation. And then we started
I was under the impression that people in Japan don't know what canon is.
Well, there is supposedly, Sunrise did, like, a panel at some con about what is and isn't Gundam canon. And they said that basically if it's animated, it's Gundam canon. And if it's not, then you should assume that it's not canon. So, like, all the manga stuff is kind of, like, secondary canon. Like, you shouldn't assume it's real. Or something like that. But that doesn't address, like, little changes like this between two different animated things that he mentioned. And I think that they also said that G-Savior is not canon.
They are trying so hard to hide that.
Yeah, I think Japan is...
I really don't blame them, but I mean, I have my copy that I'm looking at right now. What does that say? I mean,
it's a lie. It's not a real thing. You're misremembering.
It had a canon. Gundam. It had a Gundam-like thing in there. You had your name stamped on it. It's got Bandai's title. I'm considerate part of the UC thing. I mean, like... I understand it's their product, and this is regarding Viku's question. Like, this is one of these things. Like, he would have to ask Mark Simmons if he ever went to like a panel with him or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you would have to be like a really big expert who knows like all the little ins and outs of every little scene to be able to address this. I don't know if even Sunrise would be able to respond to this. Probably not.
No, they won't be able to respond.
Yeah, because I don't think they really consider that kind of thing. Like when this new Origin anime comes out, I think we probably mentioned it on here, but the Origin is going to be a TV series based on the Origin manga, which just ended recently. When that comes out, I doubt they're going to mention like what canon it's in or anything like that. It's just like, here's new Gundam, here's it's UC, enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a retelling of the 1 year war, but and then like I've heard like it's pretty much like the backstory of it too. So
yeah, I've heard that they have a lot of backstory on characters like Char and probably some other ones also.
That's yeah, because I think in the Origin, like Char works as a construction worker, or was working on the construction for Jaburo, so like he knew where it was. That's what I got from the Wikipedia page, and of course he starts up like an uprising, like during his basic training or whatever, against like in a coup d'état against the Zeon government, just because he wanted to.
Yeah, this sounds really cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, if they animate that, like I would love to see it. So it sounds like the Origin is like a love letter to Char, the 1 year war Char.
Yeah. I think that it's probably going to have a lot of backstory about probably the Daikuns, like maybe Zeon Daikun also.
it's not really so explained regarding how, because like really like the way we understood it through like novels and everything like that is even through the series. It's how, like, you know, Cilia, you know, Artacia or whatever, and Char, who is Castfall, are, like, you know, the Daikun's kids, and Ram Rao took care of them, basically. Like, once the Zeon Daikun was assassinated, or in a plot by the Zabi family, so they can take over and make it a dictatorship. I mean, that's kind of pretty much what everyone who's dug into the Gundam knows about. But, I mean... obviously, like, there's that whole drama behind it. Like, you know, why would the Zabi family want to do that? It was just kind of like, I mean, they had a motive, obviously. But it'd be really interesting to see, like, a whole drama series to that.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like, that's part of the World War II thing. Like, with Buren Zabi as Hitler. Like, I think he even mentions Hitler, doesn't he? But, like, basically,
his dad calls him Hitler, basically. He's like, you're doing exactly what Hitler did. And look what happened. You need to read history, boy. Because even like, even the Zabi leader, or like the dad or whatever, I can't think of his name. But like he went to go to a peace treaty.
Is that Dozel?
Yeah, Dozel. No, Dozel was the guy who piloted the Big Zong. I can't think of the Zabi's father, but like he goes to have a peace treaty with the Federation, and that's when Garen uses the colony laser to blow him away.
Is it take out
like half the Federation fleet before the Bawaku, before Bawaku started.
Okay, yeah. Well, basically, isn't there something called Guren's Greed or something like that?
That's a Risk, the Gundam game. I've played a little bit of it, but it's like all in Japanese, so.
More stuff needs to get translated.
Yeah, that is a game. Like, if someone actually translates like a copy of it, even if it's the PlayStation version, that I could just like make a, you know, burn an ISO on a disc and pop it in as an import, I would play that game.
Yeah, it's too bad more of this stuff isn't gonna get translated probably anytime soon. Yeah.
I think someone has a translated guide on Garen's Greed, but it's like on a free website that some guy did like 10 years ago. That was the only thing I was able to find.
Well, I hope it's on like archive.org and this doesn't get like lost.
if it's 10 years old, you know, sometimes those sites disappear after a while.
I think I saw it recently when I did a Google search, so it's still up on the internet. I guess just type in, like, Garen's Greed translation or something. Okay. And somebody would have, like, here's what the menus do, but, like, regarding what the story is, they're like, I can't tell you.
I wonder why Gundam X was never translated.
The manga?
Well, no, the whole show, you know? Why was it never, like, brought over by Bandai? I mean, it's, like, from the same era as Wing, which was their most popular.
I don't know. I mean, like, they never brought over... they were going to bring over Turnit Gundam, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah. It's... I just don't think any of these shows are ever going to come out here, unfortunately, because... I mean, unless Funimation decides that they're going to get into the Gundam game.
I wish they did. I mean, I wish Gundam was what it was 10 years ago, but it sadly isn't. But then there's still tons of fans in America that, you know, still loves this stuff. So it's not at a total loss, even if everyone has to import stuff.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are enough fans that, like, we can release podcasts about Gundam shows that haven't even come out here, you know?
Yeah.
A reasonable amount of people.
You know, stuff we have to see, you know, fan sub when that's, like, illegal to do, but it's, like, the only way we can see it.
Yeah.
So don't get mad at us because, you know, if you brought it over, we would pay you money. At least I would. I mean, I know I'm one person, but...
Yeah, the way to eliminate this, like, fan subs and scanlations is to get it over here and get it over here quickly and do it well, you know? Like,
yeah, and then like, with the business aspect is like, you know, here's a company that bought the license to this. We have to make up that money back to, you know, the crowd that wants to watch this. And hopefully our, you know, by doing this, that justifies our cost. And running a business is different that way. And I can understand companies, you know, doing that. I seem to get the feeling that Discotech is just kind of like, you know, F it, we're going to license whatever we want, which is old anime, and people are still buying that up. So they're still in business, so they're doing something right. Oh. I mean, I don't know how long. I mean, they're getting the original Mazinger Z. Like, but how many people are really going to watch that? I guess a lot.
That's a good point. They've got Harlock, too, and all kinds of good stuff like that. Maybe Discotech will get Gundam eventually, but it seems like that might be a bit of a big name for them. Too expensive, maybe. But
I guess depending on what kind of Gundam, like if they can get like Gundam X or something. I mean, something that hasn't been licensed already that's not too expensive.
Yeah, I would like it if they got like Double Zeta or Victory or X.
Oh, dude, I would be all over Victory Gundam. I mean, that's the only thing I cared about, and still do.
Yeah, I mean, I would buy Victory, and hell, I might even buy Double Zeta. I don't even really like it, but it's Tamino.
Yeah,
it's worth supporting to keep Gundam alive here.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting a cut. You know, getting the cut of that. So, yeah, I imagine. I think once, like, you know, if Discotech's doing Mazinger, they're probably gonna do Grandizer.
Oh.
And then people are probably going to, from like the Middle East, are going to import Grand Azir. And then people from Spain and Mexico and like the South American countries are going to import Mazinger.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So like there's their whole business right there.
That's right, yeah. They're probably going to import it into Europe, Grandizer. They're going to call it Goldorak or Goldrake or whatever they used to call it. And, you know, I think that stuff is still popular in Europe.
Yeah, I heard it's like it's still popular over there regarding Mazinger Z, so they're obsessed over that.
Yeah, those Go Nagai shows and other Super Robo shows.
Yeah, Italy loves Go Nagai.
Yeah, that stuff caught on there a lot more than it did here. Where, I mean, here we had what was it like, Force 5 or something? Terry's Force 5 or something that had all these.
Well, I mean, like, when America got Mazinger, it was called Transor Z, and that was done by a guy who said, like, basically the translator who said he created the show. That's what I got from it. But even Transor Z aired on CBN. Pat Robinson, the CBN Christian Network, like, they aired it back in the 80s. They aired anime.
I thought I didn't know they aired anything other than, like, Superbook.
Well, I mean, that too.
what's Christian about about Super Robos? Did they dub it in a way that, like, was Christian?
I know. Dave Merrill did an article of that like a couple of years ago on his Let's Anime blog that I read. That I'm like, wow, CBN cared about old anime back at that time. That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, totally. I didn't know about this. I wonder if that's, like, is that dub online? I mean,
I'm sure someone out there has that recorded or something.
I would hope so.
It's got to be on the internet somewhere. I'm not sure if they had releases of it in America with Transor Z. I'm pretty sure they did.
There are some old dubs, though, that are not available online. Like the, I don't think the Harmony Gold version of Captain Harlock and Queen Millennium is online. Or the old dub of Tekkaman from the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Like, some of that stuff I really want to see. I really wish that Baka BT... I don't understand Baka BT. Like, Baka BT turned down the manga, or, like, the OLM, or original... I think it's OEL, original English language, like, the Americanized manga of, like, MD Geist Ground Zero. When that's basically, like, they made a comic version of the show, but they turned that down because it's not fully anime and it came from America, even though it's totally related to it.
Fucking weeaboos.
It's those people in that show. Like, and of course, they'll promote the heck and, like, approve, like, hentai up the wazoo. So, Baka BT is only there for me to go, like, after a series that I know they'll have that's, like, obscure that no one cares about.
Well, isn't there other thing that they only accept things if they're complete? But, like, MD Geist, they're not going to make any more of that. That's complete. They should let it on there. It's anime.
They have the anime on there. It's just that they have the comic versions of, like, the original English language of the Americanized. Like, they worked on a comic version of MD Geist.
Uh-huh.
But, and that ties into it. Like, I have the collection book of Ground Zero with it. I haven't really read it. But,
do they have the Americanized Akira comic?
I think they would accept that, maybe, because it is a manga. But, I mean, now I'll be surprised if they accept the color version of that. I don't think they would, actually, because it's like, oh, no, it's not, you know, left to right. This is, you know, right to left or something.
Oh, yeah, because it is left to right, because they flipped it.
Yeah, that's right. So they only accept the left to right printings and not right to left. Like, yeah, it's stupid. The people who are running that site. So yeah, we get to bash Baka BT, even though, like, I use them quite a bit.
I don't use. Do they have? Do they have that MD Geist comic anywhere else?
Well, someone tried to put it up there, but I'm not sure who has it out there. I think hopefully. Let me see if it's still in the offered area, if they had a name attached to it.
Okay. Because if it was, like, available at some other website, I would download that, because it's probably pretty rare now, huh, to find those old MD Geist comics.
I don't think it's... Oh, well, I'm hearing my voice now.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you still?
Wait, yeah, I do.
Do you still? There you go. I don't know why that would be, but
who knows?
It's Skype.
Good old Skype. Oh, I think it's fixed now. Maybe, yeah, it's fixed.
It wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't have all these technical issues.
Yeah. Just looking at this offered list. Someone offered the Rurouni Kenshin movie, the live-action one, back in early January, and they're still on hold for more releases. I don't know what that means.
Does that mean they're, like, waiting to see if they're going to make more Kenshin movies?
I don't know. Someone put up the first season of Cat's Eye, an 80s show, from last year, and it's still on hold for waiting for possible retime. What the fuck?
What is possible read time?
I don't know what this crap is. Gosh.
How did this site become, like, the top anime torrent site? Like, when they're so hated. Like, everybody's always got, like, their little grievances about how they...
I mean... I mean, this is pretty much, you know, like a general, like, if somebody has a fan sub, it's better to put it up on here because then you can find them and find who the fan subbing group is. So it's like a big community group thing to do this, but when they turn down, like, all this crap, it's just stupid.
Yeah.
I don't see... I don't see the whole MD guys being rejected thing, so that's off the list. And, like, some people are commenting, like, why would you reject it? That's stupid. It ties into it. Like, I would like to see more of Americanized comics and stuff. Like they did the Americanized, like, comics of Votoms. Like, I would like to read that.
Yeah, I think they did it with Kikator also, but...
Yeah.
And maybe with some other ones. I can't remember, but... There might have been, like, a Ghost in the Shell one. I'm not sure.
Well, I don't see... I think they might have approved Starship Troopers Invasion on this, because I don't see it in the waiting queue list. Because I've been looking for that since, like, August.
There's also a lot of those Americanized comics for Robotech.
Yeah, like, those would be kind of cool to read for people who are like, oh, Robotech comics from the 80s, I gotta check this out.
I've got the Robotech graphic novel from... I've got it right here. 1988, I think.
Oh, nice.
Published by Comic Co. Oh, 1986. Yeah, this is...
Wait. Who's, like, what are creators' names listed on that?
This has got, like, the Macrosaga people in it. There's... administrative staff. Bob Schreck, administrative director. Diana Schutz. I don't know how to say it. Editor-in-chief. Jerry Giovinco, Dennis Lasorda, and Phil Lasorda, publishers. And as for who, like, wrote and drew it, I'm not sure where that is in here.
Well, they don't have the Starship Troopers live action or the CG movie on BakaBT because I just did a search and it's still the old OVA from Sunrise.
Okay.
This stupid site.
Based on a plot by Carl Masek, written by Mike Baron, who was a DC writer from back then. He did The Outsiders, I think. No, that was Mike Barr. Penciled by Neil Vokes, inked by Ken Stacey. Lettered by Bob Benaha, colored by Tom Vincent, production Bane Sid Studio. There's also a bunch of, like individual little Robotech comics. Like, mm-hmm. I think they might have even done, like, a whole series of the Sentinels. Even though that was never made into a show. Today at the Phoenix Toy Show, I saw some, they had, like, script books of the Sentinels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, like, just the scripts of unproduced episodes that they published in book form for some reason. It's kind of amazing how much Robotech stuff is out there.
Oh, there's a bunch.
Not to mention all the Robotech toys. Like, there's those ones that look like almost like Barbie dolls that were, I think, by Matchbox. I'm not sure.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Or, like, Mattel or something.
Yeah.
I found some movie called Super Kid that looks like a DBZ ripoff from, and it's an English dub from 96.
Okay. Welcome back to the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. GarageBand quit again. Three times, I think, this episode. And, but we're gonna wind this down because Toonami's on in 10 minutes and I'm gonna go watch it. And, we're at an hour 20. So do we have closing remarks, Sionic?
Next week we'll talk about Turning Gundam, even though this is our first recording before we even talk about the other shows that are going to come before this.
We hope you enjoyed the Gundam Wing and G Gundam episodes that we haven't yet recorded.
But we hope those are good.
Yeah, we hope you liked them, and we hope that we do a good job on them.
I got a feeling like we're going to probably have like a bigger Gundam discussion on those two. And then like, even though this is our first recording of like our big Gundam discussion before we talk about the other Gundam shows.
Yeah. Well, we did kind of like a general Gundam discussion because we talked about Zeta. We talked about the original. We talked about Gundam X. We talked about Victory a little bit. A little bit of Double Zeta. You know, we got people into the Gundam mood. Hopefully they'll enjoy the next few weeks. For my closing
remark, we got them in the Gundam mood before we talked about the other Gundam shows right at the end of Gundam Month.
Yeah, that's true. I keep forgetting this is not the first episode. I can't.
Do you just want to make this the first episode and then just do the other ones? I mean, like, even though it's out of sync.
Maybe.
Is it really going to make that big of a difference to go out of order? I mean,
I don't think it matters that much because it's not like there's any like order to them. I mean, supposedly they tie all these together in Turn A somehow, but they don't seem to me at the moment to have anything to do with each other, you know?
Yeah. But, I didn't know Turn A like compiled all the AU stuff into one.
Well, somehow it combines like all the AU and all the UC that came before and like explains how it's all related or something. Because it's got something about the dark... I don't want to spoil it. But
yeah, I gotta watch the Turn A movies, so that's what I'm going to see.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So I guess my closing remark, I'm going to quote Love That Goku. Take your novelty account accusations and throw them in the sewer. There's nothing novel about me except that my power exceeds scientific norms.
As thus your... and though your grammar. Also. That's also your grammar.
That's also novel, yeah. Okay, well, tune in next week or whenever Mason has us on. He skipped us last week.
We were waiting like 45 minutes. I'm like, this is not happening.
Well, Josh and I waited into Geek Nights, and it didn't happen. He didn't even air Geek Nights.
Well, like, I was watching King of the Nerds, so like, I was just like, I guess he's going to play it eventually.
And he didn't.
I put in a request so he can air our Kawajiri Month stuff, because those episodes are gold.
Yeah, and he didn't respond.
No, like, I asked him, and then he's just like, I have a request, and he just logged off. I'm like, okay, screw you too.
Yeah, and then when he logged on the other day, I invited him to the chat, and I asked him, well, what happened? Why didn't we air? And he didn't say anything.
Whatever.
Mason, I think as revenge, we might release that episode where we make fun of your podcast.
Probably we can do that, like, in April or something. So.
April. I think we recorded it, like, last year, didn't we?
No, we recorded in January, and because we had CG on, but, like, we're so full up on the weeks, so it doesn't really... Unless I can just add that to the... when I talked about Aliens. No, I already did the Aliens episode, so I'll just put that out whenever.
Yeah, we were supposed to be going to bi-weekly, but we have, like, as usual, a ton of material, and so...
Yeah, it was like we kept getting all this, like... Like, hey, we got something to talk about. All right, we'll do a recording. And there's been like 8 of those so far. And I'm like, well, I thought we did bi-weekly because I figured it'd be easier on both of us. And of course, as of this recording, we haven't recorded a third Gainax month. So that might come out in April also. Who knows?
Yeah. Gainax, like, year? I guess we'd have to extend it to.
Gainax quarter year? Quarterly review?
A quarter year is like 3 months, though. And it's over 4 if it's in April.
Oh.
Jeez. Well, hopefully Ava Monkey sometime responds to my emails. And
Wait, you did? I gave you the new one that was like a Gmail, right? You sent one to that one, right?
Yeah, I did send one like a couple weeks ago, I think, and he hasn't gotten back to me.
He said that's the one he uses. I don't know.
I think that may just end up not happening.
We had a good run with... because we mentioned Nadia a little bit, and then I think with the newer Gainax shows, everyone's seen those, but whatever.
Yeah.
And we mentioned Fooly Cooly. Oh, I still got a piece of Fooly Cooly that I wanted to, because you guys talked about that a little bit. I haven't done anything with that.
That's right. You have like 20 minutes of Fooly Cooly.
Yeah, I'll figure something out with that. So.
Can I find the words to tell you how I live between the walls of steel? and snow. How I close my eyes to find some kind of rapture in a world where you can feel so all alone. Inside I'm full of light and laughter. There's a flame that burns in me. Need a way to set it free. When you find love in your heart, comes to you.